Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling, OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The man!
You gotta beat the man!
Whoa! It looks like there's a new sheriff in town!
And man, is it about time!
And this is not a mirage! This is real! This is here! This is now! This is the second coming!
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki, is it?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you?
God! Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio as we move into February and the road to WrestleMania truly begins. I am Alan Wojcik, your host for the evening, prognosticator and all-around jack-of-all-trades. Our phone number, as always, is 267-297-1397. If you are a part of the Skype network like we are, add Sir Rockin, two words, no line, no ampersand, no other funny little letters, and you will be on our show. There is no WrestleMania Memories guest this week. Don't disappear. Stay with us. I do have some folks scheduled for next week, but there's just way too much news going on in the world of wrestling to slow the show down for all of that. Mace will join us in a few moments. Spug will join us in a few moments. Anthony Castellano of Newsday in New York, who does a blog on that site, a very well-done blog called The Steel Cage, will join us to talk all about the fun that was the Royal Rumble. We'll talk about the returns. We'll talk about John Morrison's moment of the decade. We'll get into everything TNA wrestling. We'll break a few spoilers. We'll get into some indie news. But unfortunately, I know this probably isn't the best way to open this show, but I'm going to open with a somber note because last week I lost someone who I knew for a couple years when he was a part of WWE's developmental program at FCW. And then ran into him again at Full Impact Pro and Pro Wrestling Riot. And that would be the bad seed, Sean Osborne, who also performed with Sin Bodhi's Dynamite Death Monkeys performance group as the blind seed. He was the first blind stuntman in the show. Unfortunately, I have the unenviable task of saying that Sean Osborne ended his life last week at the age of 34 years old. Really rough to have that kind of situation happen when you knew the guy and the guy used to chase your kid around FCW for her M&Ms and always made a point to come over and talk to her, my daughter and my wife, because as the bad seed, he was a jerk. Came out to hard rock music and the biker jacket and the shades and the cigarette and strumming away at a Bad to the Bone. And he was a really nice person to deal with. And unfortunately, his FCW dream, WWE dream ended, but he still worked, as said, for Full Impact Pro. He won the Pro Wrestling Riot tag team titles with a former guest of ours, Francisco Chiazzo, on a couple occasions. And unfortunately, it's a difficult subject because he left a very detailed note that unfortunately a couple folks that it was addressed to via email or Facebook or whatever method they received it decided instead of keeping it to themselves to post it online for all to read. Now, this is my opinion, so email radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Don't email Wild Talk Radio. Don't email Spug. Don't email Mace or Sir Rockin. But that's wrong. I'm not going to mention the names of the two people that did it because why give them the time of day? Brad Allen, who's been on the show before, on his Facebook account during the week, had said the quote, "Some things just got to keep private, dude." The Marquis Brusantes, a wrestler in Florida, was very offended. And so was I, because in a business, which I find very funny that these two people are in professional wrestling business, but been in it for a long time, decided to post something that was very private, and you're part of a business that is built on trust, built on for the longest time until people like me in the internet wrestling community came along and tore down kayfabe. You know, you're in a business where your main job, and Mace may or not agree with me, and Spug may or may not agree with me, but they're both trained wrestlers, so they know the code that when you're in the ring with your opponent, you're trusting that person with your body so that you come out of that match pretty much the same way you came in, and vice versa. These people broke that trust, I felt, broke the code of honor, and I mentioned it on one of the threads that was involved in this situation. So unfortunately, as I said, Bad Seed, Sean Osborne, also known as Sean McGrath, dead at the age of 34. We're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break, reset our program, so that we'll be in an up and happy mood. Because Sean was all about that. Sean loved performing and being on stage in more ways than one. So sorry to be a vehicle stick in the mud and drag the show down, but we will get up. We will get happy. Because as I said, we're going to talk Royal Rumble on the other side of this break. And then Castellanos, Spug and Mace will join us. And you can join us. As I said, our number is always 267-297-1397. Skype Sir Rockin. Email always is radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. The site is onlineworldofwrestling.com. It is the number one site in wrestling that everyone, including all the shows that won Wrestling Radio Awards, you come to us when you need to do research for every wrestler you've interviewed. And don't lie about it, because we got the URLs to prove it, the ISPs to prove it. I'm done. I'll be back on the other side of this break, Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. The Hero says, whenever they wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry. Hannah
Christ. Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Give me back the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivering pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th Moon of Raxor in the Gaxen Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the Warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the Warrior commands you to do it. Now the Warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Hey everyone, Johnny Cashmere here, host of Life is Callous right here on Wild Talk Radio. If you have not checked out my live show yet, then you really have to do so. Okay, I'm a pro wrestler, and we do talk, you know, pro wrestling on my show a little bit. But we also talk with a lot of other people, too. It's like a who's who of the celebrity world. Guests such as the Reverend Bob Levy from the Howard Stern Show, two-time Emmy Award-winning star John Wesley Shipp, Dr. Robin Zazio of A&E's hit show Hooters, comedian Andy Dick, and many more stars added each and every week. If you missed an episode, check it out in the archives and podcasts right here on Wild Talk Radio.
We're monkey from dancing with the clowns, yeah, yeah, yeah. So pick me up when I'm down, yeah, yeah. The rodeo clowns, yeah, yeah. All right, wrestling fans, this is Rick the Model Martel. Yes, of course, the one and only the model. You are listening right now to Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes, a network with some class, of course. And remember, fans, arrogance is not just a fragrance, it's a way of life.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, but to the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget our downloads are always available at iTunes. Just look for the iTunes link on Online World of Wrestling Radio. OWWRadio.com is the way to get to where we go. You can also get us on Click Wrestle On Demand, which is the official download site for Online World of Wrestling. You can get matches, news, all kinds of fun stuff there. 267-297-1397 if you have questions, comments, about tonight's program. Splug and Mace are here with us, and we'll get their thoughts on Sunday night's Royal Rumble event and all the fun that happened in Monday Night Raw last night, and we'll tease a couple things that are going on at the SmackDown taping tonight at where our correspondent should be, or one of our regular contributors is back. Anthony Castellano of Newsday is here with us. How'd you not end up at the show tonight on Long Island?
I skipped out on it tonight. I would have gone. I used to work nights. I was going to do it, but now that I'm working days, I'm not going. Plus, it's at the Nassau Coliseum, which is a dump of an arena. You don't want to watch any kind of show there, so I'm passing on it.
It used to be real fun, and it turned into a dump, and now because it's the oldest arena in hockey, everybody goes, but it's such a great building. No, it's not.
No, it is not.
No, it's not.
No.
Royal Rumble took place this past Sunday, the TD Garden in Boston. Four matches on this show, guys, but of course we had the Royal Rumble itself. Want to let everyone know that if you didn't watch it, this is one to definitely get for some moments in the show that worked out amazingly. First being your two champions, if you watch Monday Night Raw last night, are still intact. Edge defeated Dolph Ziggler in his match where the spear was banned, but in true Guerrero tradition, the spear somehow worked its way into the match. The loudmouth himself, The Miz, is still your WWE champion, thanks to CM Punk and the Nexus ruining Randy Orton's evening. A handicap match that was originally supposed to be the Divas champion, Natalya, taking on Lay Cool, was switched by the Raw general manager since Theodore Arlong is not in the building and the acting SmackDown GM was probably convalescing Dolph Ziggler and scheming his way into the Rumble later, turned it into a fatal four-way, and all of us watching the show immediately are whispering, going, "It's Kong, dude, it's Kong, dude, it's Eve Torres!" And yes, ladies and gentlemen, your new Divas champion is, well, Eve Torres. And of course, you had the Royal Rumble, which if you watched Monday Night Raw last night, you found out it was won by Spug and Mace's least favorite wrestler, Alberto Del Rio, who has already challenged the Rated R Superstar Edge to this title match at WrestleMania. Many moments in this show, as we said, CM Punk and John Cena had the record of the night for both dumping seven people. Well, actually, I shouldn't say they dumped seven people, because Punk did dump a couple guys, but the Nexus sure helped out. To our guest first, Anthony, overall feelings on this pay-per-view, and can you do what John Morrison did? Because that was mind-blowing, and as I said, it was probably the moment of the last 10 years in a pay-per-view, maybe even ever in a pay-per-view, his amazing parkour style Spider-Man move on the guard rail area.
Yeah, I could do it with my eyes closed every Friday night, 7 days a week, whenever you need me, I could do it. The Rumble, I mean, you know, it was okay. I mean, what I'll remember most when I look back at this Rumble is not Alberto Del Rio winning. It's seeing Big Daddy Cool come back. I mean, his ovation, his pop was huge, which goes to show you that there are still plenty of old school fans that still remember Kevin Nash. I mean, yeah, he was with TNA, but yeah, they still remember Diesel, Big Daddy Cool, because when that entrance music hit, I mean, he got definitely the loudest pop of the night. Now, it was good seeing Booker T as well. But Nash still looks pretty good. I'm glad he dyed the hair black again, because he's starting to look like, you know, Santa Claus with that white hair. But in terms of Alberto Del Rio winning, you know what? It's not the worst move that they could have made. Morrison would have been a nice surprise, but Del Rio is also a good surprise. For people who went into the Rumble, and there were a lot of people who thought, you know, Cena's going to win. And you give a young guy a shot, give him a chance to run with the ball. If he does well, then great. You just created another star. If not, you know, you get over it. People will forget about it. But it's not the worst move they could have made. It's not the best either, but it's not the worst, which is, you know, okay.
How is it not the worst move that they could have made? You have an individual in Alberto Del Rio.
Microphone. Microphone check, 1-2, 1-2, sir.
How is it not the worst move that they could have made? You have an individual in Alberto Del Rio who's been in the company for 5 months or less, and yet guys like John Morrison, who main evented your Monday Night Raw a few weeks ago in a number one contenders match or in a title shot, he was your number one contender. He's been in the title picture for quite a while now. You can't see fit to put guys like that over when we know that they can main event against The Miz?
I think Morrison would have been a much better pick, but, you know, obviously the powers to be don't want him right now for whatever reason. That's fine, you know. But Alberto Del Rio is another young star, and you know what? If they created a young star here and he takes the ball and runs with it and he has a good showing, and let's not forget, he is a very good heel, if I could use that term, he's a very good heel on SmackDown. If he is able to take the ball and run with it, the WWE just created a star in less than 5 months that will stick around for years to come. If you look at it in a long, you know, short-term decision, yeah, it may not be the best one, but long-term, if they created something here, you know what? That's how the WWE has to think now. Cena is not getting any younger. He's in his, you know, almost mid-30s. And Alberto Del Rio, you know, he may just be one of your future stars, and they could use some star power on SmackDown. And if they made a star Alberto Del Rio, more power to them.
But this isn't something that hasn't happened before, guys. You know, Kurt Angle came in hot really fast. Go all the way back to Survivor Series 96, and some guy named Rocky Maivia was shoved down everybody's throat. So, I mean, it's no different here. And he may not be an established WWE talent, but he's been performing around the world, specifically in Mexico under the hood as Dos Caras. I mean, it is a gamble, Mace, as you guys talked about on Russ Talk Radio this past Sunday. This is a gamble to, as well, Sunday night was putting Dolph Ziggler in that situation with Edge being this his first time out there. It is a crapshoot, guys. So, Mace, your overall opinion on this whole concept of Del Rio getting over and challenging Edge. Is this a better pairing, or would you have liked to maybe have seen the mouth of Alberto Del Rio against the mouth that is The Miz?
I would have preferred seeing Santino Marella against The Miz rather than Alberto Del Rio. I have not been a fan at all of this guy since he debuted, since he's being shoved down our throat on every single bit of WWE programming for the past 3 months, and I sure as hell wasn't a fan of him winning the Rumble. But even though I picked him in our prediction game because, well, we all knew that. Should have known that the guy was going to be shoved down our throat a bit more.
Yeah, so did I. I got him right. I mean, but to go into the Rumble real quick before we get into SmackDown Raw and heading to the Elimination Chamber to Spug, if you were looking to create stars, having Booker T there and having Diesel there, for nostalgia's sake, it looks like Kevin Nash, Diesel is signing a Legends deal, possibly to sign to be the one that inducts Shawn Michaels at the Hall of Fame event. Booker T is rumored to possibly either be a manager role or part of the SmackDown announced team, maybe joining Raw once we knock Michael Cole out. Your overall, I mean, Matt Stryker himself marked out like crazy to seeing Booker T and to seeing Kevin Nash. And as we'll talk about in a couple moments with Monday Night Raw, you're seeing some of the older talent getting the shine here, but were you fine with Booker and Diesel being the holy crap they're in WWE moment?
Yeah, why not?
It was a night. But do you think it was done just because of, and we'll address it later on when we talk TNA Wrestling, that this was their WWE's way of going, hey, TNA, this is what happens when you book TV multi-weeks in advance, and oh yeah, don't sign anybody?
You're wrong. They had Nash signed.
Mm-hmm.
Nash was signed. So, for whatever reason, he didn't like the deal or TNA screwed up. I think we in the internet wrestling community make a little bit too much out of, you know, oh, WWE's concerned with TNA. WWE proved that they could crush TNA if they wanted to. It's like the little fly that amuses you, that you allow it to live. You know? WWE could own Dixie Carter and TNA if they wanted to and have a developmental territory down there along with FCW. That's not competition. As much as TNA fans want to, you know, pound on their chest and stand on the soapbox and scream that they're competition, they're not. You haven't been able to sustain above a 1-point rating for extended periods of time. Your programming still isn't live. And, oh yeah, you have three of the greatest wrestlers in the world down there, and you can't do anything with them. It wasn't an FU to TNA. It was these guys have worked in WWE before, and whatever business dealings they have with Vince, it was good for business. And Vince has proven time and time again, if it's good for business, no matter personal reasons, he'll do it.
And that's a well point taken there. To go back into the Rumble for a second, gentlemen and listeners as well, This was addressed on the show on Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday night, where I'll be back to handle Against All Odds in a couple weeks. The concept of once again having a King of the Mountain type situation in a Rumble in past, it's been done by Kevin Nash, it's been done by Stone Cold Steve Austin. This Rumble, Anthony, was the Nexus King of the Mountain. Buzzkill on the show, or did it help in building up certain people come out like Booker T, like the great Khali coming in, and eventually Hornswoggle, Cena, and everyone else?
I'm tired of the Nexus. I thought, CM Punk gave him a little bit shot in the arm, but no, I mean, you could make a case that by having, them gang up and, try to pick off one star after another, you can make that case, but to me, I don't think fans really see it that way. What the WWE is simply trying to do here is they continue. You want to talk about shoving wrestlers down people's throat. I mean, the Nexus, they've kind of lived out their life to me on CM Punk. He's great and everything. I prefer him as a star by himself, not really with Nexus. I think he was just trying to put Nexus over and make these guys look strong because the WWE has long-term plans with them in 2011. They're going to keep them in a very prominent spot on Raw, and they're trying not to get them lost in everything that's going on. That's the only reason why they had the showing that they had. It's fine if you want to have the King of the Mountain have one star, pick people off here and there. It's better when it's someone like, a Kane who does it or an Undertaker. Not the Nexus. I think a lot of fans have come to terms that, it was over. It was fun for a while, now it's over.
To Spug then the Mace, did either one of you watch in this event when we had the core and the Nexus hit the ring all of a sudden go, they're never going to start this damn Rumble, oh God, what is creative thinking? Or did you think, this is a great way to start this thing? Because it sets up the you never know what's going to happen in the Rumble aspect.
I thought they were the first 10 entrants.
I agree.
I sincerely thought that the way WWE was going to do it was change it up this year and start with 10 guys in the ring. And you were going to have Nexus in the core, and those were going to be your first two. And that was going to start the Rumble, and then you were going to bring in people after that. And I would have been fine with that. The only reason that the Nexus is petering out is because the other faction that you would have them war with is on your other program. Going back to the mid-90s, when the factions were the cool thing to do, we all know that the only way a faction works is if you have an opposing faction or stable to feud with. You have to have those individual. I mean, the Horsemen had Dusty Rhodes and names escape me at the moment, but you had Dusty Rhodes and guys like that.
Yeah, Dusty had a group of people, Magnum TA and the Road Warriors, the Garvins were in there for a while, and I know what you're going with, because right. You look at the late 90s, even in WWF, you had the Nation of Domination, you had the Disciples of the Apocalypse, and you had Savio Vegas faction. Here, I agree with what you're saying. Yeah, Los Boricuas. So I agree. I don't know if we'll get Mace to chime in here. This was botched in the beginning when the Nexus just stayed on Raw for the most while, when it was Wade Barrett as the head of the group. And many people, including me, said, why did you just keep these guys on Raw? Let them go show to show and dominate and kick ass and piss everybody off. And now, as Spug said, and I'm sorry I cut him off, that he is right. Is he? In that your two factions, unless creative is going to do something like that between now and WrestleMania, have these two factions just jump each other at random on Raw or SmackDown or even Superstars if they want to go that route?
Well, I pretty much agree with Spug. I'm the same mindset. A faction only works if you have a counter faction for them. By splitting the two groups up and having them on individual shows, you're not really creating any reason to have them around. Because being on each show, being treated as its own separate brand, as they are, they're going to be push to go and dominate, and unless you're going to have somebody turning around going, no, you can't do that, it's going to be boring TV. Just take a look at what happened when you had Immortal on TNA.
Exactly. This came out of WWE's home website. They featured an interview with Diesel regarding his return Sunday night for the first time since 2003. His exact quote, which is an interesting one because he gets a little bit of a poke at some people down south. I wish I had a thesaurus so I could explain it. It's nice to be in a building with people. Laugh. When you get in this business, you strive to get to WWE, and when it's time to hang up your boots, you definitely want to be a New York Yankee. So if this was my last one, I couldn't be happier. Unexplainable to be back, a dream come true, a wonderful night. I was trying to think, what tops this? When I won the WWE title against Bob Backlund in Madison Square Garden, I didn't really realize what I had. There are definitely more years behind me than ahead of me, so you appreciate these things. It was special tonight. It was probably the best night for me. When he was asked if this was his last night in the ring, Nash hoped for a future by saying, quote, I hope not. I know Randy Orton. He's got pull around here. Ha, ha, ha. I'd stay as long as they'll have me or as long as my body will hold on. So we wish him nothing but the best. Monday Night Raw set up already one half of our Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which is February 20th in Oakland, California at the Oracle Arena. You will see in the Raw Elimination Chamber Randy Orton versus CM Punk versus John Morrison versus R-Truth versus Sheamus versus, oh my goodness, shock of shocks, John Cena. And that's because all six of them lost the Raw Rumble last night, which was the main event of the show, which set up Michael Cole's worst nightmare and a lot of fans' great dream, it looks like, Anthony, to have Jerry the King Lawler in one of the main events on this pay-per-view taking on The Miz.
I just want to know what Jerry Lawler has on the McMahons to be getting this kind of a push at his age. I honestly think it's setting up something even greater. He's obviously not going to beat The Miz. I mean, you know, they didn't want him in an Elimination Chamber match. So, you know, what's going to end up happening is it's no big surprise. He said it for a reason. He's never fought a match at WrestleMania. He's probably going to get Michael Cole at WrestleMania. Sad, but true. That's what they're setting up for and giving it to the King. I mean, it's well worth it. The guy is he's a legend. He's a Hall of Famer. He's done it all except, you know, I don't think he's ever held a title in the WWF, WWE, and he's never had a match at WrestleMania.
Nope.
So why not just, you give him a match at WrestleMania against Michael Cole. It's something for the fans. I'm sure the match will be no better than last year of Vince McMahon versus Bret Hart. So you're really not losing anything there. And I'm happy for the King. I really like him. So
it's not
the worst thing.
I have a legitimate question for the dais. Because I went into a couple of wrestling chat rooms last night and listened to people bitch about Jerry Lawler and the fact that he was getting a title shot at Elimination Chamber, which is your final step towards Mania. And I might add, WWE is doing a smart thing this year by not putting the title in the Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, it is a different move.
Yeah, it's a good move, but here's the thing. I listen to everybody bitching about Lawler. He doesn't deserve this. He didn't do anything to get a title shot.
Really? Wow.
I was like, last time I checked, Jerry Lawler still holds more world titles than Ric Flair.
Yeah, that is true.
Last time I checked, Jerry Lawler was one of the most influential wrestlers in the South.
He drew 1,700 people with Bill Dundee this past weekend in Nashville.
Right.
At the Nashville State Fairgrounds as a part of a mega card.
So, Jerry Lawler, you know, to have a match at Mania, and even if it is Michael Cole, and, you know, we had the story a couple weeks ago that Michael Cole's been taking training and whatnot to be able to get through this with Lawler and other individuals. I don't see what the big deal is. It's It's like going back to McDonald's when you're 40 and getting a Happy Meal because they have retro toys. You know? You just get to have fun once in a while. So why can't we enjoy this? Why can't we as wrestling fans enjoy the fact that Jerry Lawler is kind of getting a little bit of a, hey, here you go, here's a gift for everything you've done for us and for wrestling?
I don't know, Miss. I don't see a problem with this, do you? Do you see a problem with, I mean, as Spug said, it's not like he's walking into Mania. It would be, people probably be crapping on this more if it was Santino or if it was someone like Yoshitatsu all of a sudden is getting a world title shot at Mania. I personally don't see a problem with this, Mace. What about you?
I don't see a problem with it. The dude's been in wrestling longer than most people have been alive. Well, at least most of these fans are bitching about him. And, you know, he's done many years behind the desk entertaining the fans, so why not give him this little treat of, okay, we've come to realize you've never had a Mania match. Well, we're going to give you one. You haven't had a title shot. Eh, we're going to give you one. You know, you serve us for, what's he been there, 13 odd years?
He did wrestle for the title in 97.
Yeah, and he had the shot against The Miz recently on TV, which the audience, once again, seemed to really like. Be it a nostalgia kick or not, I mean, I think I'm more marked out when they said that Jerry Lawler had been here for 18 years, and I had to go back and go, holy crap, that's right, King of the Ring 1993 was his first time in the company, and then unfortunately left and came back due to legal issues and an ex-wife issue and whatnot. So I'm happy for Jerry. Hopefully this leads to something down the road. So you can continue your diatribe, Mace. I apologize.
But, yeah, going with what Spug was saying, you know, people bitching and complaining about Jerry Lawler getting this shot, I've come to realize today's wrestling fans, at least the quote-unquote hardcore internet fans, are never going to be happy. You know, you put an older guy in, like, all right, to use a good example, and it's a recent example. You had Kevin Nash in TNA. All people were saying about him when he was in TNA, oh, he's holding the younger guys down, he's making sure that the old guys stay on top, blah, 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 blah. Every single one of those people that bitched about him in TNA thought Diesel coming back at the Rumble was the most brilliant idea ever. So,
it's so easy
to show how much hypocritical wrestling fans can be instead of just sitting back and enjoying it.
It's not that they're hypocritical, mates. It's that the IWC is 99% morons. Yeah, I said it. The majority of the internet wrestling community are nothing but a bunch of Mark retards who wouldn't know how to book a program if it bit them on the ass. They wouldn't know what to do if Ric Flair and Harley Race came to them and said, I got this great idea. We're going to take this NWA title and we're going to put it in a steel cage. You know, they wouldn't know what to do with that. If Vince McMahon came to them with ideas about the Attitude Era, they would be flabbergasted. The majority of them are stupid. They don't get it. They just bitch because they have a microphone and people to listen to them.
Well, it's no different than a Monday morning quarterback sitting there going, you know, if the Jets had done this, they'd be in the Super Bowl, or if Brett Favre hadn't left. It's nothing different, Anthony, or is he
actually,
right?
Yes, it is. It is different.
Okay. Oh, okay.
If a quarterback sits there and goes, okay, the Jets should have done this, this, and this, he has experience in the game. He's seen how things are done. 99% of the people that comment during wrestling shows in chat rooms and stuff like that, they have never had a day of training, they have never set foot in a ring, they haven't even come close to even touching the mat with their hand. That's the difference.
But you know what? They're fans, and they're allowed to do that. I mean, they can do that. I agree with you guys that they have no idea, they've never been in backstage of the show, you know, I mean, let's be honest, most of these guys live in their mother's basement. We all know that. But the truth is that they're fans, that's what they do, and, you know, let them rant and rave and say what they want. They don't know wrestling history like some people who have been around and who actually, you know, like me, I'm not the oldest one. I'm only 24 and I don't know everything about past wrestling history, but I've done my research because I'm a fan and I know about Jerry Lawler and I know everything he did in Memphis. These guys aren't. They come in, they see this and they think they have the cure for everything, but they don't. But they're fans. They're just fans. They don't realize that. That's the problem.
And it's a well point taken. To move on to some WWE news and notes this week, this Friday night, or at the tapings tonight, you're going to see a handicap match on Friday Night SmackDown, courtesy of Vicky Guerrero, the world champion Edge, and Kelly, taking on both members of Lay Cool and Dolph Ziggler. For fans that aren't aware of this, Rey Mysterio, shock of shocks, is presently working through a severe rotator cuff injury. The injury occurred during SmackDown's most recent overseas tour, and company officials have been limiting his in-ring work at events, as well as house shows. He's been contained in tag matches when he does house shows. Meanwhile, Mysterio handpicked Dashing Cody Rhodes to work his current storyline with. The plan calls for the two of them to face off at WrestleMania. Now, of course, that could change. Mysterio is said to be hopeful that he can avoid surgery through rehabilitation. Fans found out this past Monday night, if you're going to be watching WWE's Tough Enough Version 5 starting after WrestleMania, you are going to see former Delta Time WWE World Champion and Hall of Famer Stone Cold Steve Austin as a coach, mentor, and overall seer of this event. Interesting choice, Spug. For this idea, against Stone Cold, indifferent to Stone Cold?
I'm all for Stone Cold. I think he has a lot to offer. And he's probably one of the more underrated talkers in the business. I mean, you look at his promos from ECW when he first came over there from WCW. They were, you know, with Bongo and all that. It was genius. Absolute genius.
Monday NyQuil.
Monday NyQuil. I love that. Awesome promo.
On the corporate side of things, some stuff has changed. Director and COO Donna Goldsmith is apparently resigning her position, will leave the company effective the 28th of February. She served in that position since December of 2009, and before that, she ran the company's consumer products division for nearly a decade. She was one of the main people that pushed for the PG direction that you're currently seeing and was instrumental in securing multimillion dollar deals with Mattel. She also picked up the slack when Ms. McMahon decided to run for Senate. She was actually named the second most powerful woman in sports behind USA Network President Bonnie Hammer. So we wish her good luck in her endeavors. Just when you thought NXT season 3 was done and all the girls were gone, boy, were you wrong, kids. Because the WWE Diva Search Contest is going to be making a triumphant return to WWE television. Everybody can either go, yay, or go, ooh, in a minute. WWE Director of Partner Marketing, Julie Stenz, announced that the company will be holding the 10-week contest, which will take place during WWE programming in hopes to find the next WWE Diva. Now, for fans that don't remember it, WWE held 4 Diva Search contests since 2004 that got fans Christy Hemme, Ashley Mazzaro, current Lay Cool star Layla, and Eve Torres being the winners. The last competition was in 2007, and it was won by Layla. Eve and Layla are a part of the company. Also, folks like Maria Kanellis, Michelle McCool, Maurice, the recently departed Tiffany, and others were all signed and went on to have somewhat successful WWE careers. To Anthony, is this Johnny Ace going, okay, this whole thing with Gail Kim and the Bellas is nice, but we need some 20-year-olds?
I have no idea what they're thinking. It's just, you know, the Tough Enough thing is great. I'm glad that it's coming back. I enjoy Tough Enough. I thought Tough Enough 1 and 3 were really good. Although the only good thing came out of Tough Enough was John Morrison, unfortunately.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, the other guy had a lot of potential, Matt Capitelli, but he got, unfortunately, brain cancer. You know, the Diva Search, the NXT was good for the first season. It ran its course. I think Tough Enough will be good. you know, as its own show, unlike Tough Enough 4. So that should be good. And I'm all for Stone Cold. I mean, the guy's seen the highest highs and he's also seen the lowest lows. So if there's anybody who can mentor, you know, young stars, it's him. But for the Diva Search, I really don't care for it at all. So whatever. It's good eye candy, but other than that, I mean, it doesn't really add to the show.
I have to interject real quick.
Go ahead.
I got a little one getting ready to go to bed, but she has something to say. Say it, Gertie.
Uh-oh.
Ah, Roddy Rich.
Wow, you said it better a minute ago. Now you sound like a retard. Go on. Good night.
Yeah, we'll talk about those guys in a moment, because I wanted to bring them up in a moment or two. But to Spug and Mace, do we really need Diva Search 2011, especially when you're going to have Tough Enough 2011 going on at the same time?
I don't like... Go ahead, Mace, because I could care less about Diva Search.
Funnily enough, same here. Guess we have Johnny Ace going through another swimsuit magazine going, hey, more girls to hire. Frankly, the Diva Search hasn't really produced anybody of note. It's produced more models. It's produced more, you know, swimsuit fodder. Has it produced wrestlers? No. So I'm pretty much like, forget the Diva Search. Tough Enough, on the other hand, I like. As it's been said, Stone Cold, underrated talker. He knows his way around the ring. He knows how to build a character. Hell, Stone Cold, the character, was just Steve Austin with the volume turned up.
And
that's
will be
something that these guys will definitely need to learn in this business.
Well, see, the thing about Diva Search that I hate, and about the women's division as a whole, is they've taken a title that was held by Mae Young, Moolah, and Sherry Martel, and Wendy Richter, and Luna Vachon, you know, women who paid their dues just as hard as the men did in the business. Just as hard.
And sometimes outdrew them financially.
Sometimes. And you've taken this title, and you've turned it into nothing.
But this is a company. At one point, Stephanie McMahon was your Divas or WWE Women's Champion.
That was storyline purpose, though. That's different. At least half the bimbos and porn stars that they bring in for this Diva Search, you know, Stephanie McMahon knows more about wrestling than they do. At least Stephanie McMahon can properly apply a figure four leg lock, or a simple arm drag, or a headlock, or a wrist lock. She can do those things. You know, she can do those things and do them properly. These girls you're bringing in to be eye candy, and then when they win the Diva Search, you're shipping them off for 6 months so they can go learn how to wrestle. That's ridiculous.
Especially when we can attest, because we've had plenty of women wrestlers on this show. There are plenty of really good looking women out there who know how to wrestle and deserve these spots a lot more than these bimbo swimsuit model and porn stars.
But unfortunately, the 30-year-old rule, as we found out when we had Mercedes Martinez and Angel Orsini on, is in place, so it's almost Logan's runtime in the WWE. I want to move on real quick to another area of topical discussion, and that was the infamous 2-21-11 promo that played twice during Monday Night Raw. Now, of course, everybody went nuts on the internet, going crazy. It's the return of the Undertaker. It's Skip Sheffield and a new character. New York Newsday, didn't do this. New York Daily News did, of all the newspapers, had a claim in an article from someone whose name I've never heard of, and I'm not going to mention it on the air because I think it's made up, that a lot of dreams of fans may come true, that on 2-21-11, you will see the arrival of the Icon Sting. Now, this promo seemed awkwardly reminiscent for someone of my age, being 36, and I remember WCW in its prime. through the Monday Night Wars, this oozed of WCW that this could be Sting, Anthony. You know, you said you tried to reach out to different venues. What happened in your search today?
Well, what happened was 221. It's the arena that's going to host Raw after the Elimination Chamber. Unfortunately, the arena posted on their website that it was The Undertaker returning on 221, and it is not Sting. And they also had a video, and the video was, it seemed like, I didn't see it because it was pulled off the site and off YouTube after, you know, this made headlines. They pulled it off the site, that the video that it had basically The Undertaker is making his return. So it looks like it could be The Undertaker. It could be a total curveball. I know a lot of people have been throwing out other names other than Undertaker and Sting, but it's one of the two. It has to be one of the two. The arena is the Save Mart Center. So if you go to their website, they have it in yellow caps with a yellow banner, The Undertaker Returns. The video does not play. So, it's sad to think that if The Undertaker walks out on February 21st after being off air for 4 months, that fans are going to be disappointed, and it's not Sting. But, you know, they're setting up for something. I wouldn't be shocked if both Sting and Undertaker are at WrestleMania, not against each other. I don't think that would happen. But, you know, it could be. It looks like it's The Undertaker. Then again, I wouldn't be shocked if Sting walks out on February 21st.
And Sir Rockin says he has some audio for us. What do you got?
Returning to Fresno. It's the most exciting televised event on Monday nights. This is Raw. And all the stars will be there. See John Cena team with the Viper Randy Orton to battle WWE Champion The Miz and CM Punk in a tag team match with guest referee Michael Cole. Plus, on this night in Fresno, the Dead Man, The Undertaker returns. Tickets on sale now. WWE, the best value in entertainment.
And that's why here's the god of internet radio, fans, Sir Rockin' with the big score there. Too Spug.
Yeah, I don't see how you can see it's anybody else but The Undertaker. And it has nothing to do with the boots or the trench or the date. Look at this setting of that.
You it's awesome this, Kong, dude.
You look at the setting of that vignette, and that shop that he walks into is the exact same shop that they used to use when Undertaker would do his promos for casket matches.
Let me jump in. A couple people on Facebook, I don't know if they were having their way with some creative stuff, but I believe Scott Fishman of the Miami Herald had found it, and then my friend Sean Mars, who is involved in TN Events, had it on their page as well. A shot of Sting almost looking like the Joker from the Batman films holding a card in his hand, facing you, and the card is of the Undertaker, Mace. Now, it was really weird, guys, to actually see this kind of vignette inserted in WWE television, other than the ones they did where R-Truth came in a couple years ago, and also the Alberto Del Rio events. Pretty interesting setup to see where this is going.
I don't know. I'm sort of not really thinking it would be The Undertaker. I have my own feelings that it might not even be Sting. I'm thinking we might actually have a whole new character. Because in previous returns for The Undertaker, they don't really do the build promos. Like the vignettes and all that. They've always had something in the arena because it's always been better with the live crowd hyping up his return rather than, you know, promo packages. So I'm not too sure on Sting. I'm going, yeah, could be, maybe, maybe not. I'm actually thinking we've got a whole new character coming in.
Can I interject?
I don't know who. Sure, Spug, shoot my stuff down as usual.
I'm not shooting you down. I'm not shooting you down at all, Mace. I'm actually going to agree with you. For just a second. And not that it's a new character, but a newer old character. We heard the promo for Raw And it says the dead man returns. Okay? You have the vignette last night. WWE and Vince McMahon acknowledges the power of the internet wrestling community, even though they won't come out and openly say it. And they have done things from time to time to throw little tidbits to us. He's also a manipulator and an absolute genius at times. What if it is not only The Undertaker? Because the majority of Undertaker returns have been done in-house. They have been done without promos. Although the WrestleMania 20 return, there was quite a few vignettes for it, but that was a big deal. What if it is, in fact, both the return of The Undertaker and the promo that we saw last night, the vignette, was Sting? If it's both at the same time, on the same night?
I actually thought that is a possibility, that they could. Because, I mean, this is going to be huge, whatever it is, and I did think that. It's a very strong possibility. I mean, the only thing is that do you want them both, and I mean, this would be great for fans, I mean, do you want these two megastars to both return on the same night? Now, it's not just The Undertaker returning, but now Sting, who has never, ever stepped foot into a WWE arena, and one of the only biggest wrestling stars to have done that. I mean, do you want one overshadowing the other? Because one is going to overshadow the other. And as I'm a huge Undertaker fan, he's my favorite wrestler, but if he walks out and then Sting walks out, Sting is the biggest story. Do you think McMahon is going to allow a guy like Sting to be the bigger story than the cornerstone of the WWE in The Undertaker? That's the only thing.
Now, it could be a Photoshop photo or not. It could be a fan thing or not. But the idea just there, because we've talked about this before, addressing WWE Hall of Fame coming up in April, which is going to be in Atlanta, which was the home of WCW for years, guys. Could this be set up, let's sign Steve Borden, get him in here for a one-year deal, even if it's a Legends deal like Kevin Nash has? It could be that kind of thing. I'm not sure. Wanted to bring something up that I found doing research for tonight's show as we sort of wrap this segment up. A lot of things have come up, being that this is the Atlanta event and WCW was there for decades running. A lot of fans actually emailed us at RadioAndOnlineWorldOfWrestling.com and said, you know, WCW had a Hall of Fame. Dude, whatever happened to it? Well, I happened to find on a couple websites the classes that were inducted in 93, 94, 95. Now, some of these folks are already in the WWE Hall of Fame, such as Vern Gagne, Eddie Graham, Harley Race, Big Cat Ernie Ladd, Terry Funk, Antonio Inoki, Big John Studd, Dusty Rhodes, Gordon Soley. Also in these Halls of Fame that were created by WCW, the legendary Lou Fez, Mr. Wrestling 2, the original Assassin, Ole Anderson, Crusher and the Bruiser, Wahoo McDaniel, and our recent OWW Radio guest, Lanny Poffo's dad, Angelo. First thing that came to my mind that when we were talking last week with Brian Shields about his book, appearance with WWE Encyclopedia, that didn't come up is I would like to see the Road Warriors go into this year's Hall of Fame, because as a lot of people have outlined, they changed wrestling. A lot of folks go, oh, they were green as crap when they did it. Well, they changed wrestling. Can anybody debunk this idea to the three of you or even fans that are listening? The idea of put the Road Warriors in this year. Awkward silence.
All I can say to that is, what a rush.
Well, that's why I queued it up, baby. I knew you were going to get there eventually. Ah, that explains everything. Nice photo. I knew that looked familiar, so thank you. To Anthony, before we let you go, and then we'll mention all the fun ways that people can contact you. We had some picks last week from our contributors. If you were in charge of this Hall of Fame this year, besides the obvious Shawn Michaels choice, who does Anthony Castellanos say, this is a lock, this must happen for WWE Hall of Fame 2011?
Macho Man. You got to put the Macho Man in. I think he's overdue. I mean, I know a lot of people have different views on him. I would put him in. Why not? I mean, he took part in some of the most noteworthy matches, especially in WrestleMania history. Flat old school fans still love him. So I would definitely put him in with the Shawn Michaels. I would only put those two as the headliners, not to overshadow one or the other, but definitely Macho Man. Road Warriors is another really good one that you could also put in, but I put the Macho Man.
All righty. We're going to go ahead and take our next break, but before we take it, guide some folks to where they need to go if they're living in the New York area and they go, I hear about this thing on the Newsday site, but I don't know how to get there. Tell them about the Steel Cage and also who else is involved besides you.
For the Steel Cage, you contact us at newsday.com/steelcage. I write there, and also Alfonso Castillo. He has many sources within the WWE, so he breaks news a lot of the time, and I usually just give my opinions. He also has a lot of great interviews with some guys, so you can get us at newsday.com/steelcage.
All righty. Coming up after the break, we will get into all the fun that is TNA Wrestling as they head to Against All Odds. Everybody's back from the European trip, somewhat in one piece. We'll address someone who did not come back in one piece. All in World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back after these commercial messages.
Coming soon to the Wild Talk Radio Network, a show that honors all the men and women who have sacrificed their lives, a show that pays respect, and a show that pays tribute to us. That's right. Join us as we pay tribute to ourselves, as we hand out awards for the best show moment, best phone call, and even best show. We will also be paying tribute to one of our own by handing out the WTR Lifetime Achievement Award. Join us in the coming weeks for the first ever WTR Awards right here only on WildTalkRadio.com.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fia Restaurant, may I help you?
Oh, yes, I'd like to place an order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice. Vegetable fried rice?
I'm a vegetable.
Vegetable fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you, egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yes.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean to fry the rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow peas?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
And we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, you, go! Wild Talk! Wild Talk! You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey, you go! Bye-bye.
And welcome back to As the Jared Angle Life Saga Turns on All I Will of Wrestling Radio. I didn't pick a theme for the music for this week. I was a little busy doing other stuff in my household. So we'll get back into our weekly themed music next week. Will be the one, the only Kiss on All I Will of Wrestling Radio. Thanks, Anthony Castellano, for joining us here on the show. We're going to have a holdover in the topic to a degree because it's going to mesh in to what we were talking about here. Spug and Mace from Russell Talk Radio, OTL, Tap Outs to the Knockouts, Bash of the Books. These guys do everything on this network, and they're the true MVPs of this business, unlike other shows that got really neat little statues. But hey, good for them. I don't need titles or championships to know how great I am. Jeff Jarrett does in certain effects. Everyone is back in the United States. All is well and serene, unless your Nature Boy Ric Flair, kids. As we outlined last week, the Nature Boy had some issues overseas with not getting his per diem money or advance. So he stayed behind while the group went overseas. Well, apparently, the Nature Boy suffered a torn rotator cuff, which apparently happened while wrestling on the tour in England. Normally, this injury, and I'm guessing at this, I went to a couple medical websites to back it up, and Spug and Mace may know if they've injured this before, that usually on an average person of our age, from 25 to 35, this takes about 4 to 6 months to heal properly. And unfortunately, with the Nature Boy being, I believe, 61, this may not heal as fast. He was expected to be involved in the Impact tapings that happened last night and tonight, despite his bust up with management overseas, so we wish nothing but the best to Nature Boy Ric Flair. Hopefully his health will come back and he will be involved storyline-wise or not. Before we get to last Thursday's Impact, two things came out of this week's taping and also a change in venue for one of the pay-per-views. Suicide has made his return once again to TNA Wrestling. Yes, he's back. No, it's not Frankie Kazarian. No, it's not Homicide. Apparently, we're going to break total kayfabe here, that Ring of Honor and TNA have worked out a very interesting deal regarding the fallen angel Christopher Daniels, whose TNA has wanted to bring back in its goal to revitalize the X Division over the next few months. Due to Daniels being under ROH contract still, ROH has apparently agreed to allow the Fallen Angel to work for TNA as Suicide until his ROH deal ends. So congrats to TNA for coming to their senses and bringing the Fallen Angel back, guys. The other news to come out of this week.
Before you run off.
Sorry.
Fans are gonna know it's Suicide as Daniels. They were chanting it the first time he donned the suit. If he's gonna end up being in a mask anyway, like we were saying during the break, we needed a return of Curry Man, goddammit.
He's spicy, man.
He's more entertaining. Konnichiwa. Absolutely. Sorry, I just love his little entrance dance was fucking hilarious.
It can get some action going from Curryman. That'll be great. Lockdown this year is going on the road. TNA is taking it to Cincinnati, Ohio on April 17th. Now stay with me because Mace may not get this, but the American fans who follow professional football will get this. This is somehow tied into the company's latest publicity stunt from earlier last week, where they actually offered the former Chad Ochocinco, eventually to be returning his name back to Chad Johnson, a chance to wrestle his current head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals inside a steel cage. Now, at the time, the location was not announced, but yet, now it kind of makes sense, Spug. I mean, do we really want to see Chad Johnson and Marvin Lewis in a wrestling match? I mean, I understand this will never happen in a billion years, but this is another version of TNA. Great idea in getting yourself publicity, but not the way to do it?
Nobody cares.
Or is this a good idea?
Nobody cares. Listen, Cincinnati's 4 hours away. And so I may make the trip down there to go see Lockdown.
Cool.
Check it out. You know, I have an affinity for steel cage matches.
And it's a whole pay-per-view of them, baby.
Just a quick FYI. If anyone wants to get me a gift, I will gladly accept a DVD called Bloodbath. Best
Ooh.
Steel cage matches.
Yeah, which actually has a bloodbath match that there's no blood in, being Owen Hart, Bret Hart from SummerSlam 94.
It was a great cage match. I still can't remember. Is the Brunar San Martino Boba Brazil cage match on that?
Not 100% sure. Unfortunately, my DVDs are in storage thanks to the recent relocation of the Online World of Wrestling studio. TNA Impact ties into what we were recently talking about with Anthony and Spug and Mace regarding the Icon Sting, Kevin Nash, and Booker T. Because this coming Thursday night, which was taped last night, go look at your spoilers if you want. We're semi-spoiler free here. Crimson, Kurt Angle promised the arrival of they. That is, Ric Flair keeps reminding you, we're already here. Well, if you watch this past week's Impact, you found out that part of the day is here. And that would be Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner is part of the they. He came out during the main event in which every member of Immortal beat the living snot out of Kurt Angle and Crimson, which was set up earlier in the evening with Immortal saying that Kurt Angle was retired and Immortal would give him a butt whooping anyway. Now, Angle was mauled somewhat by the group, only to have, of all things, Ric Flair going, "All right, you know what? You want back in this company? You're in! And tonight you're taking on Jeff Jarrett and everybody else." Which leads to, let me run the rest of Impact and then we'll get into the topic at hand. An elimination match took place and it was the Divas, with Mickie James and the Beautiful People defeating Sarita, Tara, and Madison Rayne, which also led to issues with Velvet Sky and Winter, where she basically called Winter out, and then they brawl all over the joint. I'm happy the Winter is being used on TV, because, hey, if WWE didn't want to use her right, Katie Lee is getting used over here. More money for everybody. We did have a beginning of 3 weeks of setting up a number one contender matchup to set up an opponent for Kazarian at Against All Odds. This week's, past week's match saw Max Buck of Generation Me defeat the former X Division champion Amazing Red and the other former X Division champion, the future Chris Sabin of the Motor City Machine Guns. And as mentioned, we're going to have more stuff with the Pope, apparently confessing that he doesn't like, Samoa Joe. And many people are going, well, hey, could be interesting with the Pope. I wouldn't mind seeing the Pope and Samoa Joe as a match. But to Mace, as I said, Spug is not a big fan of the TNA product. But in your eyes, surprised to see Big Papa Pump back? Because many people had said when the Hogan Bischoff set up again, he wasn't going to come back. So I guess money talks and Big Papa Pump walks? He's got to pay for the freaks, I guess.
But I am a big fan of Samoa Joe. So I'm all for Samoa Joe.
I'm not really caring anymore. I've gotten to the point where I'm starting to go, is it really worth watching Impact this week? Let's have a look at the spoilers. Oh, look, more Jeff Jarrett, Karen Angle stuff. I'll go and do something else on my Thursdays.
Yeah, and we will find out this Thursday. As mentioned, there is a world title match. World champion Mr. Anderson will take on Jeff Hardy for the immortal version of the TNA World Championship. Before we get into this whole situation with they and what many people think they is, we talked about it before, and judging from what we've seen from the spoiler notes for the next couple impacts, this situation with Jeff Jarrett, Karen Angle, now Karen Jarrett, and Kurt Angle is just getting a little out of control, man. So I understand, as the old stereotype, and Spug being a trained professional wrestler can attest to it as well, in certain circles, wrestling is referred to as a male soap opera. It's a male soap opera, boys and girls. Well, isn't this taking it a little too far? I mean, there's rumors going around that there's going to be a match at Against All Odds involving custody of children, maybe, and, you know, divorce papers, and, you know, let's go to divorce court and stuff. I mean, how far is too far? I mean, I understand that Vince Russo is a fan of old school Jerry Springer and Maury Povich, but how much is too much, Mace?
Well, to be honest, this is too much. What we are currently seeing is too much. We have no real reason to see Karen Angle, Jarrett, Nahasa Pima Petal on our television screens, so why make it a focal point of your shows for the next God knows how long? You know, why amp it up with stupid, you know, oh, I'm going to get your secrets out into the open. We don't care. All we've really been wanting is Kurt Angle back in the ring wrestling proper. You know, we want to see Kurt Angle wrestling. Why have to involve this family drama crap?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't something new, Spug. As we mentioned a couple weeks ago, you know, you had in the 80s the involvement of Jake Roberts' wife, Cheryl, with Jake Snake Roberts, Ravishing Rick Rude. You had, to a degree, the late Nancy Sullivan, Benoit, with her then-husband Kevin Sullivan, and then eventual husband Chris Benoit. You saw this in the 80s with, you know, Precious and Sunshine with the Garvin, gorgeous Jim Garvin back in the day. But that's a little light and petting, you know, and that. But this is, I mean, as someone who's married and has a child, is this something you want an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old watching on TV? That, you know, if things don't go right, guys, you just have a wrestling match over your kids or your ex-wife.
I think it goes too far, to be quite honest with you. I think that I understand the thought process of, let's, you know, because WWE did it with Rey Mysterio, and, you know, there's been a long line of angles there involving significant others. I think, unfortunately, and this is where Vince Russo's track record of bad decisions comes into play, I think, unfortunately, with the way his career has gone in TNA, he can't afford to do this kind of angle right now. He can't afford to put together this type of storyline and have it work.
So this can only end up being career suicide.
Horribly.
Yeah, because I mean, when we had Dutch Mantel on the show a few weeks ago, he said it. I mean, does this guy have, you know, for adult ridiculous photos of Dixie Carter doing stuff with foreign animals? I mean, how's this guy keeping his job? And it also just goes to the mentality for a moment of Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle to come to terms with this. I mean, because this is a situation not like what we had a few years ago in WWF, with a real-life situation with current TNA star Matt Hardy, current WWE star Adam Copeland, and the Omega's favorite whipping person being the former Lita, now Amy Dumas, where you had a legitimate situation. I mean, Jeff Jarrett was sent home by TNA television a few months ago because all this stuff leaked on, I believe it was Bubba the Love Sponge's show or Opie and Anthony or one of those other mainstream radio programs. So it's out there to the general fan like us who reads the sheets and goes to WWE Genesis, our official forum on this program, or Wrestling Observer or anybody else. So it gets interesting, to say the least. The other situation to come out of this is they. Now, I'm not going to reveal who they are, but if you watch, obviously you know from watching the Royal Rumble that they are not the main event mafia in Sting, Kurt Angle, Booker T, and Kevin Nash. Without giving away who they are, you've seen possibly who they are in certain instances in the rumor mills. Without giving away who they are, Maze, if you had the pencil, who would you like they to be if you had a creative? Or would you not even have gone down this road to set up a mortal fortune versus they?
No, I wouldn't have gone down this path. I wouldn't have brought back the main event mafia. I would have looked into other options. I would have tried to have built something, probably, you know, Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, and a couple of other guys, I don't know, maybe the Motor City Machine Guns and Rob Van Dam. You know, get guys in to combat the other group from within your own company instead of bringing back older characters that obviously didn't want to be there by from what we're going at the moment.
I mean, is it, when I read who they are, I kind of agree with a lot of my friends and folks in the online world of wrestling radio section of the OWW Genesis Forum, which we have some info about it. I kind of just sat there and said, okay, this was them Sunday night watching the Royal Rumble going, oh, crap! There went our they. Who could they be? Could it be you? Who out there could we make they? And as you'll watch this Thursday night, you'll see who they are. So, I mean, it kind of ties into what I wanted to talk about here. And Spug brought up an interesting point once again, that if TNA was not able to sign Steve Borden, Sting, who, if my research showed right, turned 51 or 2 recently, and also had issues with his shoulder. That's why fans were watching TV going, why is he wearing the shirt, Dad? That's why. He had a shoulder injury and was recovering from that, so we didn't obviously want to show his scar. Like, if you look at Scott Steiner, you'll see an amazingly huge scar that he suffered in, I believe, the Dominican Republic of Puerto Rico a couple years ago, where he had a collapsed lung. If TNA dropped the ball on this one, Spug, is this a blow to TNA as a promotion? Because
it destroys the company.
Really? To like the to the foundation. Even if Hogan comes back and can't wrestle without Sting, there is no TNA. Is he like how he was in WCW? He's the franchise of TNA in your eyes?
It's not that he's the franchise. What happens? You have Sting, you have Kevin Nash, you have Booker T. Say what you want about Kevin Nash and not wanting to push the younger guys, wanting to hog the spotlight, you know, whatever. You say what you wish say whatever you want about him. His mind for the business is incredible. He has a tremendous acumen for the wrestling industry. It's the same with Sting. And unfortunately, without individuals like Kevin Nash and Sting and Booker T in the back, willing to kind of put Bischoff and Hogan in check, and as much as everybody wants to call Nash a Hogan and Bischoff crony, the thing is that Nash still wasn't afraid to speak his mind. That's just the way Nash was. But without guys like Sting in the back with Nash and with Booker T, you don't have anybody to keep those individuals in check anymore. Hogan and Bischoff will run roughshod over TNA and do whatever they want, and you'll get more stupid angles like they and they point to, and they 2.0, and then we'll have they 2.5, the reboot Vista edition. So, I mean, Sting, without Sting, that company will end up being destroyed. And any hope that legitimate wrestling fans who want to see wrestling return to a day and age in which you could turn on the TV on one night and spend 2 to 3 hours of your night just flipping back and forth between two channels, waiting to see what the other one did, is going to be dead and buried. And we are going to return to the dark days of the early 2000s when there was one horse in town.
Does bring up some valid points, Mace. Your thoughts on that?
lot to digest there, really. Sting not being a part of TNA. I don't know if I go as far as marquee names that they've relied on for so long to draw people in is no longer going to be there. Plus, it also blows the horrible Sting versus Hogan feud that we could have had. I wouldn't go as far as Spug, but I say Sting not being there does hurt the company, and the short-sightedness of TNA booking, not having guys locked down to a contract before they start doing an angle, is also hurting them a lot more than they're willing to give credit for.
Go ahead. Please go ahead.
Here's the thing. I mean, we were talking about this with, what's his name? I can't remember.
Anthony Castellano.
Him. You know, we were talking about the Sting Hogan thing. Or Sting Undertaker. And who could it be on the 21st? And him and I both, you know, he had said it first, and then I came to the realization that he may be right, that it could be both. It could be both Undertaker and Sting at the same time. And, you know, if you have a Sting-Undertaker feud, because what is it that wrestling marks have been clamoring for years? It's the chance to see both of those individuals in the ring at the same time together.
Just him and the company alone is amazing to see Sting
right.
Walk in the WWE.
And there was the story, you know, when WWE bought out WCW, when Vince met with all the talent, that he met with Sting and wanted to sign Sting. And there's, you know, varying reports from Sting laughed at him and ripped up the contract and walked out to Sting spit in his face. Now, I find it very hard to believe that Sting would spit in anybody's face, let alone Vince McMahon, because you never know when you may end up being working for him in that company.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also said that if it makes smart business sense, Vince will do it, no matter personal animosity. If it's smart business, he'll do it. And an interesting side note is when you have two guys who have been injured as often later in their career as Sting and Undertaker, who better to protect them in the ring than someone who knows? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sting and Undertaker both know the other one's limitations as far as injury. So who better to protect the other one?
Leaves to lots of open interpretation here, because as I said, you've had this setup on Monday Night Raw, and also this past Thursday, you had this setup of the day, and Crimson, Tommy Mercer, to a lot of fans that know him from his work in Nashville and other Mid-South promotions, he's kind of getting that push that Alberto Del Rio is too, because this guy just walked in the door as Amazing Red's little brother, and now all of a sudden it's, I'm with Kurt Angle, sorry Red, go over there, now I'm with Kurt Angle in my short shorts and hitting Abyss with the bat. I mean, but do you like this scenario that TNA dropped this ball, Sting is gone, they is who will be revealed this Thursday? And I said we're spoiler free on this show, but when you see it this Thursday, you probably will do like a lot of us are doing right now, scratching the head going, this is what you came up with. Okay. And I'm not I am actually a very creative person in certain aspects. I do contribute to a couple promotions in the state of Florida, so I do work in creative, so to speak, and I'm 10 years doing what I do here in radio and also other places. But is this, as Spug said, he's already said it's possible to be a death note to this company. You disagree that it's not, but is there middle ground in that? Dixie, Jeff, Vince Russo can sit there and go, okay, we really screwed up here. This is the Band-Aid to put on the gunshot wound to get us to against all odds. Can we fix this to get to Victory Road in March and get to lockdown and do what we're going to do? Is this possibly a way to bring back EV2 to be a part of this, to kill off Immortal Fortune, whatever you want to call that group?
I wouldn't bring back EV2 because you already had Immortal doing a pretty good job of killing them off. You know, to the point as they were pretty much irrelevant after the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view. But it just seems like TNA booking seems to juggle one thing with one hand and something else in the other, and when thing from hand A doesn't go to hand B, they go, oh crap, panic, and just write something completely out there that makes no sense whatsoever.
This, right now in the great state of Ohio, we have a nasty winter storm moving through that stretches 2,100 miles from Boston to Oklahoma, and is blanketing us with almost an inch of freezing rain right now.
Ew.
And the storm in some instances has been called the perfect winter storm. I think what you have going on in TNA mirrors that. It is a comedy of errors that has turned into absolute buffoonery in their booking and storytelling department, creative department, that is coming to a head with their bad business practices. And we saw this story before the Rumble about Kevin Nash not being in TNA, and he had the deal worked out. He had the deal worked out with TNA, had it signed, it was going to come back and do the angle, and they started running promos for it, and I don't know if something got lost in translation or whatnot, but he was unhappy, so they were going to go back to the drawing board, and they voided the contract that they had already signed with him to go rework a new deal, and lo and behold, he went to Vince and signed with Vince. And next thing we know, we got Booker T and Nash back in WWE. And I think you're seeing the same thing going on in TNA again, in that you have this they angle and the new NWO and the new Four Horsemen, and you have the old ECW angle, which you successfully destroyed from Hardcore Justice on, and you've taken all of your main talent and turned it into the dying days of WCW, when you had Rey Mysterio burying Ric Flair in the desert. You know, your angles make no sense, and your business practices are absolutely horrid. And when you have those two things, it's going to combine into a perfect storm, and you are going to see that company implode. And like, this is just my opinion, just me prognosticating, but I would not be surprised if TNA shut its doors by next January.
Wow. This is a situation that this angle can happen, whereas you're filming, I believe they filmed 3 weeks before they went overseas.
Sometimes and then, 4.
Right, but this recent one was 3, I believe it was the pay-per-view, and then it was 3 days of TV, where you could possibly film the third week of TV being Monday, Wednesday, and you're like, okay, we're going to go to the pay-per-view right after the last TV, and one of your main spot guys gets injured and can't appear at the pay-per-view, but you built and built and built this thing up, and now you're like, oh crap, what do we do? He's in a full body cast. What do we do? We lost the head. You know, it turns into a soap dish situation of, oh, we saved the head or something like that. I mean, it feels like they put the cart, the whole condominium packed up, and everything before they put the horse, the truck, the tractor, whatever you want to do here. And, no, I'm sure there's other people tuning in here that are going, well, you guys are just ripping TNA to rip TNA. No, I have always said it, and I'll say it again. I used to be called the TNA apologist by a lot of people in this business because of the weekly coverage that I did for sites like Online World of Wrestling and others around. I want TNA to succeed. I'll stand and put my hands on stacks of Bibles and go, I want this company to succeed.
Alan, you and I have had conversations off the air, and we've had conversations on the air. Have I ever said once that I don't want TNA to not succeed? Have I ever said once that I want TNA to fail?
Right. And I'm not saying that's what you're saying, sir. I'm not saying that at all.
No. I'm echoing you. I'm agreeing with you and joining in your little parade here, and that I don't want TNA to fail. I want competition. Everything works better when there's competition. Why do you think that in the lawn care trade, there's the ability to have so many accounts? It's because one person doesn't like the price of another company, so they drop that company and go to the other one. It's competition. People are more profitable and companies succeed when there is competition. And when you are forced to innovate and forced to strive to achieve to be better. It is necessary for success. Unfortunately, in Orlando, complacency has become the norm, and they are doomed to fail. And that saddens me because they have so many individuals on that roster that are so talented, absolutely talented. And they will never have the ability to shine because of idiocy.
Well, would this be happening if, let's say, Russo did, you know, not have the dirt, as rumored by people, and someone like Jim Cornette, who's been on the show, we've had a discussion with him, Dutch Mantel, who we have a discussion with, go to our archives and download it to your mobile device or your laptop. If Dutch and Jim had control right now, and Russo's not here, are we even having this conversation? about the possible demise of this company and this day angle even happening, Mace? I mean, we watched TNA for years. So you really think even with Russo out of the way and Cornette and Mantell or someone else writing this, this is destined, this is the chosen one's chosen path, you can't detour off of it?
It would have still been going the same way. They would still be having trouble getting ratings. They would still be having trouble with talent. They'd still be, you know, philandering and going nowhere. It doesn't matter who would have been in charge at the time. It's just, and I've said this a million times on this particular show and every other show, I'm sick of Russo being the scapegoat. Because he was the scapegoat for the WCW fiasco. So people are automatically saying it's his fault that TNA's going under. To be honest, any company is going to have a hard time getting on the same level as the WWE, or even getting close to it, because McMahon's money and his history in the business and his reputation and everything else is well known by everybody, and everybody has known. If you want the big money, you go to Vince.
Right. I agree with you for on one thing, but I will say this: you don't have to come in and automatically compete with Vince. And yes, Russo is a scapegoat, and it's an unfortunate scapegoat. But his track record does play a role. And I will say this: Jeff Jarrett is not without blame in all of this. I don't think to echo Mace real quick, I don't think that with Cornette booking, there's any different turnout, because Jeff Jarrett is going to do what Jeff Jarrett wants to do with that company. You know, even though Dixie Carter owns a good chunk, Jeff Jarrett still has input. And let's face it, Jeff Jarrett started TNA when WCW closed because he needed a spot where he could get over. So, I mean, we should just call TNA the Jeff Jarrett experiment, and it's unfortunately failing.
Well, that's what it used to be called by the weekly folks in Nashville. It used to be called by them, told them, "I'll stop Jarrett. I'm one of those people that did it." From Mode 2 to 04 before they moved the company all the way down to Orlando against possibly better judgment or not, but that's for another idea. It definitely leads to something that we will discuss next week, because we will have some different contributors to bring into the mix that are mainstream media that cover this stuff. We may involve Kevin Scott, our resident TNA guy from Under the Ring. We may have Phil Strum next week. We may actually having a new contributor to the show. I won't name who they are yet. We're going to take a break here, and we thank you all for being with us here each and every week. We're going to get back into WrestleMania memories next week, but as I said, with the stories that came out from Raw and the Royal Rumble and this past week's in TNA, it was a choice made to take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap things up with some indie news, a couple shows that are going on this coming weekend, including one of our very own friends, Alyssa Flash, Julia Melissa, some of the folks know her as. We'll be back on Willow Wrestling Radio. Stay with us.
Quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling columns today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage,
Bret Derry,
Candice LaSalle,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
Yesterday,
Bret the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time,
Jimmy Van the Boogie Woogerman,
and tomorrow,
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro shoes, Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Coming soon to the Wild Talk Radio Network, a show that honors all the men and women who have sacrificed their lives, a show that pays respect, and a show that pays tribute to us. That's right. Join us as we pay tribute to ourselves, as we hand out awards for the best show moment, best phone call, and even best show. We will also be paying tribute to one of our own by handing out the WTR Lifetime Achievement Award. Join us in the coming weeks for the first ever WTR Awards right here only on WildTalkRadio.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team, and you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to our final segment here on All I World of Wrestling Radio, brought to the Wild Talk Radio Network, and also AllIWorldOfWrestling.com. Also, ClickWrestle.com is one of our friends. Also, the folks over at Chick Fight, we love to throw them some love now and then. We're going to mention them right now because if you live in San Francisco this Saturday night, you want to be at the main gymnasium at John O'Connell High School, which is 2355 Folsom Street, at 7 p.m. bell time. You'll be witnessing an event put on by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Tickets are $20 for ringside, $10 at the door, pre-sale only. The doors are at 6. Tickets are first come, first serve. You can go to prowrestling-revolution.com for the areas in San Fran. You can get tickets at in her retirement match. I can't believe to say it. Weird to hear her say this from such a young lady. Former TNA Knockout, former TNA Knockout Tag Team Champion, Taylor Wilde, is going to go out in style with our friend who's been on this show before. You can download her interview that we did with her. Alyssa Flash, Julia Melissa will be her opponent. El Hijo de Rey Mysterio will be on this card. Also, Oliver John of the Border Patrol and the Brazilian Beast Cafu will be there. So as mentioned, go to prowrestling-revolution.com. If you live in, where am I saying? Go away, pop up ad. If you live near Vincennes University, V-I-N-C-E-N-N-E-S University, I believe this event may be weather permitting. I'm not sure. You have to go to MECWPro.com to get updates on the weather situation. Main event, Championship Wrestling, will be holding a super show on Friday night at 8 p.m. This will be in the PE complex. The main event is the Wild Eyed Son of the Boy, Tracy Smothers, taking on Jerry the King Lawler. The recently returned to TNA, Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner will take on our friend, the Natural Chase Stevens. Al Snow and Head will be there. Brian Christopher will take on Bill Dundee. The Bad Boys will take on the Hybrids. Shank the Freak Barzini is going to take on Fireball Johnny Richards. Doors are at 7. The first 200 fans get a special meet and greet with the one and only Jerry the King Lawler. $20 on floor seats, bleacher seats 15. Kids 5 and younger are $5 and $10. If you live in Marionette Park, Illinois, AAW is where you want to be next Friday, the 11th, for Path of Redemption. This will be taking place at 115 Bourbon Street. I believe it's also known as 3355 West 115th Street. This is an all-ages event. Tickets are $25 for first row, which includes a meet and greet from 4:30 to 6:30, $20 for second row, $20 also for third row, $10 general admission. Many matches on this show, including AAW Heavyweight Champion Silas Young, a 2009 Joe Peterson Memorial Cup member, will take on Raven. The AAW Heritage Championship will be on the line with Shane Hollister taking on Davey Richards in a steel cage match. Jimmy Jacobs and Dan Lawrence will take on the Irish Airborne. The AAW Tag Team titles will be on the line. Kyle O'Reilly and the Canadian Cougar himself, Tony Cusina, will take on CJ Esparza and Brett Gayaka in a special attraction match. Mischief will take on Dustin Diamond. Yes, Screech from Saved by the Bell and a recent graduate of Hulk Hogan's wrestling program, which I believe was in CMT or whoever. Truth Martini will take on Jody Eastman. Lewis Linden and Flip Kendrick will take on Tommy Trisnick and Cameron Sky with Mene Libre. So definitely go and check that out. Spug actually has an event he needs to talk about, and we'll go to Mace, and then we have some OWW Genesis business to take care of. So the floor is yours, Spug Guy.
If you're in the Akron area on March 19th, Streetsboro, Ohio, at the arena, NXWE and USWA present a show. It doesn't have a name yet, unfortunately. I was just informed about this tonight. But I will be wrestling in a match for the International Championship, a three-way match, a triple threat elimination style for the vacant international title against Chaos and our very own DL Havoc.
Oh, we wish you nothing but safety on that one. Is there a website they can go to? Did you mention it? I'm sorry.
Mm-mm.
There is one. Damn.
I haven't got any info on it. All I got was the show.
Ah. Well played indeed. Mace mentioned an event last week that's going to be taking place in Australia. If you just want to give the folks the date and website information, they can find out all the fun stuff on the card.
Basically, ladies and gentlemen, Saturday the 19th of February at the Thornbury Theatre at 859 High Street, Thornbury in Victoria. Tickets are adults $20, children $15, family $55. Go to www.melbournecitywrestling.com.au to see the match card, or find them on Facebook at Melbourne City Wrestling. Or if you wish to book tickets directly, call 9484-9831. Lots and lots of good matches going on there, including one of the guys that I brought into the business, Tommy Hellfire, challenging for the Melbourne City Wrestling Championship. So there you go. I might not be booked on the shows, but people I had a hand in bringing into the business are.
If you are one of the people like I am that frequents our official forum, which is OWW Genesis, and you're a part of the face-off area and the takedown and all that fun stuff, face-off is back. There is a brother tag team tournament going on. You can check out three matches that have been currently running on the site include Brett and Owen Hart taking on Jack and Jerry Briscoe. The Macho Man, Randy Savage, also known as Randy Poffo, and his brother Lanny, taking on Kerry and Kevin Von Erich. Also, the Funks were taking on the Steiner Brothers. There is also a father-son tournament taking place on the forum. I believe it is a 16-team tournament that involves certain teams such as Bret Hart and Stu Hart. I believe the DiBiases are involved. Definitely go to OWW Genesis, which is the gold standard of wrestling forums. You've heard the commercial on this show week in, week out. So frequent our board. We appreciate you frequenting us each and every week. Want to thank you all for being a part of this show. Hope that you are going to be safe the next couple days with all the wild, wacky weather that's been hitting the Midwest and the Northeast. I have
There's
friends and family in New York.
Ice outside, dude.
Yeah. Do you have skates? Because I know Sorokin and I, being hockey fans, we would probably be skating around our residing cities as we speak.
Well, there's about 6 inches of snow underneath the ice, so it makes it pretty crappy. But yes, I do own a pair of skates. Remember, I am a Penguins fan, Alan.
Yes, and did you, before we go, did you enjoy any of the All-Star game before we watched Royal Rumble?
I got to see part of it. I thought the way that they did the draft for the, to pick the All-Star teams was interesting. I will say this to the dude who got picked last and threw a fit about it. Really? You're an all-star. You got a check and a car out of being picked last. What do you have to bitch about?
I'm happy being picked last.
Exactly. He got like
even
ten,
in your finish.
He
yeah,
got
but who's,
ten
what?
Grand in a brand new car to be yeah. for being picked last. Really? Quit bitching.
Yeah, even the person who finishes last in school, guess what? They got a medical degree, suckers. I always say this every week, and I know people go, would you shut up about the Wild Talk Radio Network that you're a part of and how great it is? Well, it's damn great. I love being a part of this network. WildTalkRadio.com is our official website. You can see the schedule usually on the right-hand side as to who, what, where. There's areas that you can find out about us. There is a Facebook area, a comedic Facebook area. I believe it's called WrestleBook. You can check that out. I am not the only one on the show that has a show. These guys have shows on shows on shows on podcasts and whatnot. Tomorrow night is OTL, Otaku Talk Live, Geek Speak for those of us out there. Any vagueness on what you guys will be doing tomorrow night?
Not a clue. Speak news. I have an article that I want to bring up having to do with Legos and classic movie scenes.
Will you be talking Hornswoggle? Because I forgot to mention the Hornswoggle.
Oh, that is the midget show. We love midgets over there. Well, I do. But, you know, probably. Midgets will come up eventually.
Yes, and unfortunately, due to her schedule as a goddess among people, Cindy Sin is not going to be available this Thursday night, but definitely check CindySin.com, which is her amazingly done website by some guy called Sorokin, the Internet God. Friday nights are kind of open, and possibly will be DJ Stein, there might possibly be DJ Sorokin, maybe DJ Spug, who knows. If you've got nothing to do before you go out on Saturday night, don't go out Saturday night. Because this Saturday night, 11 o'clock, is, I believe this is a first time for this radio programming facility. There'll be the WTR Awards. It is hosted by the end-all, be-all of our network, and that would be Omega. You can still vote, I believe, Sir Rockin. How late is the voting on this thing till?
Till Friday.
It is Friday. Okay. Friday at midnight Eastern, maybe. I don't know. And of course, some of us might be there, might not be there. We'll see what happens over the weekend. I'm up for hanging up on somebody, which I find very humorous. And I'm up for a relief show moment of the year for hanging up a phone call.
Jack Bob's the Knockouts this Saturday, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What is there a UFC pay-per-view, or is there Strikeforce?
Silva's fighting.
Ah, interesting.
Anderson Spider Silva's fighting Vitor Belfort for the middleweight title this weekend. So okay. I'm looking forward to it. There is no snow in the forecast. I don't have to work a really effed up schedule. I should be home well in time for the show on Saturday. So 1 hour before the show goes live, the UFC goes live from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we will be doing Tapas and Knockouts, talking about the event, news in the UFC and MMA and all that wonderful junk.
Yes. Has there been before we talk about CB Radio, Mace does have, as you may have heard in commercials on our network and other shows, does have a very nice podcast called Bashing the Books. Is there a Bashing the Books in the works for this week, sir?
As usual, it's always in the works. It all comes down to my own personal schedule. Every time lately I've gone to record, something else has come up, or a show is starting to happen, or, you know, my internet goes down as it did so wonderfully yesterday. It's basically stay tuned to the website as to when it's going to pop up. I believe I actually have a wedding to attend this weekend, which will impact on getting it out there. So, yeah, it'll be back when it gets back, pretty much. And it's a real pain because I've had a lot of books I've been really wanting to review lately. But just keep an eye on wildtalkradio.com for the return of Bashing the Books.
CB Radio is live following the WTR Awards with an award review, Super Bowl commercial fun, and more. And you can check out last week's episode for another very fun drunk phone call. Remember, the show is midnight-ish on this network, and it is Super Bowl Sunday. No interest, don't really care.
Really?
Yeah, don't care.
How can really you not have interest?
May go see a movie.
You're going to watch the Super Bowl.
Ellen, I'm Australian. I don't even really have interest in American football. I'm still going to watch the damn Super Bowl.
All right. Now, if you're sitting there watching your Super Bowl and you're bored, Life is Callous with Johnny Casimir will be taking place at Rockin'. Can you confirm or deny this for me? Type really fast or talk on your headset if you do have it. He was supposed to have Andy Dick, comedian extraordinaire, on this past week, but I believe due to communication issues, Andy was not available, but he was pre-recorded and may or may not be on. Will Wrestle Talk Radio be on at 10 o'clock Eastern?
No pay-per-view, yes.
So it will be whether football is still going on or not. So don't watch the Michael Jackson Thriller episode of Glee. DVR that bad boy. Get on Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen to Wrestle Talk Radio.
If the Steelers win the Super Bowl, you will hear an explosion from Cleveland. Yeah.
Ooh. Multi-megaton bomb going off.
Or me yelling. One of the two. I hate Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So in closing, I want to thank Jason Dedrich, Brad Dykens for giving me the voice every week. They are the brains behind OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. They're also behind ChickFight.com and ClickWrestle.com. Thanks to Anthony Castellano for joining us this week, Spug and Mace. We will get back into, as I said, WrestleMania memories. We do have a guest that is locked in. It's just a matter of when he or she will be appearing on the show, if it'll be live or be a pre-tape situation. Next week, we'll have all the music done. Next week, it will be the greatest, the best. It will be Kiss. So on behalf of everyone, I'm Alan Wojcik. Thanks for being a part of our program. Don't forget, go to clickwrestle.com. If you want to download this, go to wildtalkradio.com, owradio.com. I'm stuck with this Twitter thing, twitter.com. My name is Wojcik. It's Mace Thing, I believe, is yours.
The Mace Thing.
That Mace is correct. Thing. Follow me on Twitter. Don't try on Facebook.
And yours, Spug, is...
Tapouts 2KO.
And don't forget, Wild Talk Radio can be followed on there, and OWWCOM. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
I can see through four.